From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
Shut up, you kids! Hey, you get to bed! Get in your room! Get ring, ring, ring! What's going on? Get that phone! Get that phone! Dumb kids! Mom, it's for you! What? It's for you! Who is it? Who is it? It's your small group leader from church, from New Hope. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yeah, hallelujah. Yes. Isn't that right?
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, president of New Hope Christian College in Eugene, Oregon.
When we look back on life, we all remember major events that happened. High school graduation, our wedding day, the birth of a child, a job promotion, dates that stand out from all the rest. Well, today, Pastor Wayne is going to focus not on the big events, but on the way we live our lives in between. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Living Life in Between.
I want to talk to you about life in between, a message that I believe is for every single one of you. How often we miss life because we think life is either at our goal, and once we reach our goal, then we find life, and we miss the fact that maybe God had life along the way, and the reason he put out that goal is for you to walk this certain path, because therein lies life, but we miss it because we think it's over here, and then when you end up here, it's empty, and you've missed life. So we're going to talk about exactly how to find life in between, because often God's purpose may not be the same as my goal. My goal is my goal. God's purpose may be found along the way. So we'll talk a little bit about that, how to not miss it, and how to value life correctly. Just recently, I was up in Oregon where my grandkids are, and I was to go to this pretty high-powered Christian businessmen's meeting. And I was about 20 minutes late, and when I arrived, one of the businessmen, Christian businessmen, said, Wayne, you're usually really punctual. In fact, you're here usually before any of us, and you're a little late. What happened? And without guilt, without any apology, I felt free for the very first time when he said, how come you're a little late? I said, I had to hold my grandson a little longer. And he's 1.5 years old, And they said, what? Yeah, I had to hold my grandson. By the way, I said, my little granddaughter, 2 years old, Katie, they said, she just got me laughing. And they said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, I was eating watermelon. She loves watermelon. And she's just learning to talk, and she's so cute. And so she came up to me, and she said, Grandpa, you're eating watermelon. I said, yes, I am. She looked up at me, and she said, would you like to share that with me? I looked at her and I said, you're good, girl, you're good. So I said, that's the reason I'm a little late, because I had to hold my grandson and play with my little granddaughter just a little while longer. And one of the high-powered Christian businessmen said, that's God. And I said, what? He said, that's God. He said, I think God brought me to this meeting to hear that, because what you did was what he's been telling me to do, and I haven't been. That's God. You see, sometimes what we think is our goal is not necessarily God's purpose. It happens in between. And if you miss it, you just may miss life. Because life is in between. How often I think I've measured the wrong things as to what's valuable in life and what's not valuable. Meetings versus holding my grandbaby. You know, I find that because I'm so task-oriented, I find that once I reach my goal, I can actually miss life. And I'm very efficient, but not effective. Let me tell you the difference between the two. Being efficient is doing things right. And we do things right as a society, being efficient. But are we effective? See, efficient is doing things right. Being effective is doing the right things. Because you can do things right, but it may not be the right things. See, we do things right. I mean, we've got cell technology, we've got iPhones, Macs, we got computers, I mean, we embed radars in people's heads so they can go online anywhere they want to go online at. They've got stuff, you know, little hotspots everywhere for computers. We're very efficient, but are we effective? Our families are falling apart. Our marriages are eroding. Our kids don't even recognize who their parents are anymore, and parents don't the kids. And it's just family threads are fraying, but we're efficient, but not effective. My favorite story to illustrate being efficient rather than being effective is this man running into the doctor's office. Doctor, doctor, quick, give me the best thing you got for chronic hiccups. When someone can't stop hiccuping, the doctor says, you want the best thing? Yeah, you want it now? Yeah. And the doctor just hauls off and hits him as hard as he can. Boom! Oh! The doctor said, how's that? What'd you do that for? He said, you wanted the best thing for chronic hiccups? Yeah, he said. He said, well, are you hiccuping anymore? He said, no, but my wife waiting in the car still is. The doctor was efficient but not effective. And so what I've been doing is reevaluating life or revaluing life. That's what reevaluating means, to revalue life. Move value statements around, because what I put a price tag on that I thought was high is not as high as I thought. It's actually empty. I revalue life. I want you to do that with me, regardless of what age you are. In fact, I would encourage you, the younger you are, to revalue life now. Relationships. What are the best relationships? In fact, I want to share with you one of my favorite quotes, and it comes from the life of John Wesley, and we're going to put it on the screen. And I need you to read it carefully, and it says this: I judge all things now by the price they shall gain in eternity. I judge all things only by the price they shall gain in eternity. For example, I get a little trinket here and I have to kind of shuck and jive and cut a few corners to get this. Well, what price will that have in eternity? Not much. Then that's the real price. Well, what about this relationship that I had to cut in order to get this? Is that valuable in eternity? A whole lot more. Then that's the real price. You see, we have to revalue life. If you don't, mark my words, you'll be investing in things that are worth less. And the things that are worth much, you'll miss. And much of that will happen in between. In between. John Lennon, of the Beatles, John Lennon, a musician back in your day, said something in one of his songs, and the lyrics say this: life happens while we are busy making plans. Life happens while we're busy making plans. You see, a lot of the life of Jesus, how life happened in between. In between Galilee and Jerusalem, he stops and speaks to a woman at the well, and her life is fully transformed. On the way to Jairus' house, a woman with a hemorrhage of blood touches the hem of his garment, and he stops the whole entourage. A miracle ensues in between. You see, was his goal to get to Jairus' house? He could have said, hey, knock it off. I got to get to Jairus' house. Get him. Make an appointment. No. His goal was Jairus' house. God's purpose was right there in between. And see, sometimes we think we got to get to this goal and you miss life. How many people today in America have reached their goals and missed life? How often I see in the life of Jesus that life is found in between. Linda Ellis has written a very profound poem that you may have read or heard about. It's called The Dash. And let me read an excerpt from that poem. It goes like this. I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on her tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came the date of her birth, and spoke of the following date with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash in between those years. It matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters most is how we live and love and how we've spent our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that can still be rearranged. So that when your eulogy is being read, with life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they say about how you spent that dash? Life in between, that's the dash. In between can be a place where life happens, or would you write in your first bullet there, it could be a place where we miss what God is doing. Because you see, it may not be God's purpose to get to that goal. It's our goal, but maybe God set us on this pathway because on that pathway is where life takes place. Several years ago, a man moved from Honolulu to Hilo when I was pastoring there, and actually when he moved for a job. God had been moving on his heart 2 years prior to leave Honolulu and go to Hilo, partly because his marriage was falling apart. He was around a group of people that were developing horrible habits in his life of all kinds of addictions and problems, and for 2 years he procrastinated and dragged his feet. He had heard about Hilo, he had family there, and he had visited a New Hope, and he really felt God was calling him to start a whole new life with his family, his kids, and re-begin again. One day, a job opening came up that was a very profitable job, very lucrative. So he dropped everything here, moved his family there. 6 weeks later, the job dried up. 6 weeks later, and he came into my office just mad, just discouraged. And I remember sitting with him, and he said, "My job, I came over here, God opened up a job, and I came over here, and now it's gone. I don't even have a job." I said, "Well, what did you move over here for?" "For the job." I said, "Well, how long has God been talking to you about this?" "Oh, a couple of years. I knew I was supposed to come sooner or later." I said, "Oh, really? Tell me about it." "Well, 2 years ago, you know, I'm with wrong people and stuff was going bad, so God telling me to come." So I said, "Well, why didn't you come 2 years ago?" "Well, things just got in the way. Things happened." I said, "So you dragged your feet for 2 years?" "Well, I couldn't come right then. So I said, "So you dragged your feet, and then God opens up a really lucrative job." "Yeah, they promised they were going to pay me a whole bunch of money." So I said, "Oh, so you drop everything and you go because of a job?" "Yeah." "And then the job dries up?" "Yeah." So I said, "Well, God wanted you to come 2 years ago, and you wouldn't come." "So he opens up a real lucrative job, and you come?" "Yeah." So I said, "Then you don't need the job anymore, because God had you come for your family, right?"
"Yeah."
"So why do you need the job?" I said, "You see, your goal was the job. God's purpose was your life. And the only way he could get you to obey is to open up a lucrative job. Otherwise, you would have stayed over there and disobeyed God. Don't you think you should just thank God for that? But what your goal was isn't God's goal. And it's time you revalue certain things and do what God asks you to do. Get your life together. He'll open up another job, but only you can open up a new life. That's your choice." You see, often what we think is God's goal is our goal, but not necessarily his. He'll use that to get us to a certain place. So we have to be able to hear what God is saying. Let's read what it says in Isaiah 30, verse 21. Go. "Your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way. Walk in it. Whenever you're turning to the right or to the..." Some time ago, I was supposed to play worship for Wednesday night service, and I hadn't played my guitar for a while. So I remember just taking my guitar to the Ala Moana Park, where we live near there. And so I just played on this park bench and just practicing some chords. Well, I was done. I'd done for about an hour or so, half hour. And then I put my guitar away. And as I was going to my car, there was a homeless man sitting listening the whole time. And the Lord said, just go talk with him. I don't know. I got to get to Wednesday night service. And the guy said, hey, I heard you playing your guitar. And I said, oh, yeah. He said, come over here for a second. So I walked over there. And he takes out his ukulele. And he said, I play too. You want to play? And I thought, I don't want to play with a beginner, you know. Come on. So I said, all right. So I took out my guitar and we started playing. And it was kind of neat. So he stayed there for about 20 minutes playing different Hawaiian songs. And he said, what do you do? I said, me? Yeah. I said, I work for God. He said, you work for God? Said, yeah. He said, like playing your guitar? I said, yeah, I play guitar, huh? For God. Where? I said, in his house. He said, whoa. And for the next 15 or 20 minutes, we talked about God in his life. Well, when it was done, I headed out. And a week later, I had heard from someone in the park that he had just passed away the day before. And I thought about it, and I thought, you know, interesting. I bet though my goal was to get ready for Wednesday night, God's purpose was for me to talk to this man before he passed away. Even till this day, when I do some stuff at Ala Moana Park and different homeless people will talk to me, they'll always remind me of their friend that kept talking about that pastor that he had played music with just a week before he died. I thought, isn't that interesting? If we're not careful, what we think is our goal is not necessarily God's. He uses that for his purposes. But life happens in between. And we can miss it. Not only can we miss it, I mean, we can actually negate, would you write that? And we can negate God's working. What God wants to do, we can actually mess up. Because we forget, we think life is over here, doing this thing in front of all people, but at home, it's like, no big deal. You know. Shut up, you kids. Hey, you get to bed. Get in your room. Ring. What's going on? Get that phone. Shut up. Get in your room. Dumb kids. Mom, it's for you. What? It's for you. Shut up, I said. Who is it? It's your small group leader from church, from New Hope. Shut up. You shut up. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yeah, hallelujah. Yes. Isn't that right? And we forget that life really, what sticks with the kids is this. We think, well, this is, you know, image management. That's where it all happens. No, life happens over here. We just missed it. We can actually negate God's workings. Sometimes we think, well, it's just, we go to church. Look, but it really is on the way to church. That's where life takes place. It's between the Sundays, life in between. It's at work. It's the way that we influence or affect those coworkers. Well, I just go there to make widgets or put cotton, you know, in aspirin bottles all day. I got to do something. Like, no. It's not the widgets we make. It's how we make the widgets. It's the attitude with which we make the widgets. That's the stuff that ultimately we become the determining factors whether or not you or I will be promoted or not. Not just the widgets. It's the heart with which you make those widgets. See, we forget that life is in between. And if we're not careful, we can actually negate the working of God. This just happened last week, which illustrates it so much. I'm terrible at making my own flight arrangements and all the connections. So an assistant I've married, Ann, that do that really well because I go in these crazy places all the time. And whenever I travel, usually it's to do leadership training or a conference or speaking or something, and the receiving churches that are bringing me in always pay for the flights, my food, hotel, so I've never paid for any of the travel because they're always paying. That's part of their deal. But when I travel on my own, like I went fishing just last week up in Alaska, I have to make my own and pay for my own, and I always go standby. I've been hanging around Pastor Elwin too long. So I'm on standby to get up to Alaska, to Sitka, and from Eugene. So I make it up to Seattle, and then I go to Alaska Airlines, and the front ticket counter lady says, I said, will I be able to get up to Sitka from here? She said, oh yeah, no problem. Looks like there's 17 available seats. I said, all right. She said, just go to the gate. And they'll get you on. They'll call your name. All right. So I go to the gate, and I walk up to the gate lady, and you know, the ticket gate right before you get onto the plane area. And I said, is there room for standby? She said, ooh, looks really tight. I said, no. The lady just out front said there's 17 seats. She said, no, I think she is mistaken because this is a real tight flight. I don't know if you'll be able to make it. I said, I have to make it. There are fish waiting for me. Do you understand? I have to minister to these people. She said, I'm sorry. I think this is really tight. I said, no. Please check. Is there any? Come on. Your coworker said there was plenty. She said, I'm sorry, sir. If you would just sit down, I'll see if there's no shows. I said, excuse me, ma'am. She said, would you sit down? 3 minutes later, I come back up. I'm ADD or something, you know, and I said, is your computer showing any cancellation? She says, it's only been 3 minutes, sir. I said, do you want me to sit down again? She said, please. I said, oh, man. Come on. Then I sit down, and I said, I come back again. I said, what do you think? Can I get on? I have to get on. She said, all right, I'll check. She said, what's your name? I said, Wayne Cordero. She said, oh, no way. I said, well, what did I say? She said, I've just finished your book called A Divine Mentor. I was just reading that. Oh, really? And she said, the best part is that you said when you're doing your daily devotions, there's these Bible mentors that will help prepare you for unexpected problems that happen every day. I didn't say that. I don't think I said that. You know, if we're not careful, we think that the fish is the goal when God says, no, life is happening here. I'll use that, but there's something on the way that I want you to do. You can touch somebody's life. You can encourage someone. And if I'm not careful, I'll completely miss it. I'll just be sort of checked out. Just miss it. You see, we have to remember that life isn't just here. It's out there. It's on the way to the car. Something will happen. It's on the way home. And if we think it just happens in church and nowhere else, we can negate what God's doing. Like that other mother. Shut up! Shut up, you kids! Sit down! You're stressing me out! I just went to church, you know. Shut up! God's trying to do something in my heart, so stop, get out of the way. Praise the Lord. We do that all the time. And we actually can negate what God is doing. What I just told you is true. You know, what happened at Alaska Airlines, what I'm about to tell you is also true. This is no joke. I turn around after this thing with the lady and the divine mentor. I turn around and just right about here, I'm turning around like this, and another lady says, Pastor Wayne, this is Seattle, Pastor Wayne. I said, oh no, not again. She said, I'm from Kauai and I watch your television program. I cannot tell you how much it has helped my life. I said, well, I hope it helps mine. And it's like, whew. See, we think life is out there, and God says, it's in between. We can kill what God's wanting to do. That's what we find here in Acts 25. Let's read here Acts 25, 3. Go. They were requesting that Paul be brought to Jerusalem, watch this, at the same time setting an ambush to kill him on the way. Underline that. It can be something that we miss, or life in between can be a place where God can change your life. Would you write that in the next bullet? Where God can change your life. Oh, this man had no idea it was about to happen. Oh, no, he wasn't doing well. He was on his way to Damascus to kill some more Christians when God, on the way, changed his life. Let's read what it says about Paul as God called him into ministry. Go. On the way, a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, was shining all around me. And it was there on the way. Life happens in between. Watch for it. Watch for it.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled Living Life in Between by Dr. Wayne Cordero. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.